Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, text number 22. 23, right. 10, 23. A 10, 23. Chapitre 10. Yes? You ready, Gopal? Okay, we'll start with the word for word. Please repeat. Rudranam Sankaraha Cha Asmi Vita Ishaha Yaksha Rakshasam, Yaksha Rakshasam, Vasunam, Pavakaha, Cha, Asmi, Miru, Shikarinam, Aham, Rudranang Sankarascha Asmi, Vitesho yaksha rakshasham Vasunang pavakaschasmi Meru shikarinam aham Rudranang shankarascasmi Vitesho yaksha rakshasam Vasunang pavakaschasmi Meru shikarinamaham Rudranang shankarascasmi Vitesho yaksha rakshasam Vasunang pavakaschasmi Meru shikarinamaham Rudranam Sankarascasmi Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasham Vashunang Pavakascasmi Meru Shikarinamaham Rudranam Sankarascasmi Vitesho Yaksha Rakshasham Vashunang pavakaschasmi Meru shikarinam aham. You want to try? You like to try? Rudranang sankarascasmi Vitesho yaksha rakshasham Vashunang pavakaschasmi Meru shikarinam aham. Like to try, please? Rudranang sankarascasmi Vitesho yaksha rakshasam Vasunam pavakaschasmi Meru shikarinam aham. Would you like to try? Okay, thank you. Please repeat. Rudranam. Of all the Rudras. Shankaraha. Lord Shiva. Cha. Also. Asmi. I am. Vita Ishaha. The Lord of the Treasury of the Demigods. Yaksha Rakshasam. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas. Vasunam, of the Vasus. Pavakaha, fire. Cha, also. Asmi, I am. Meruhu, Meru. Shikarinam, of all mountains. Aham, I am. Translation. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvera. Of the Vasus, I am Fire, Agni. And of mountains, I am Meru. Purport. There are 11 Rudras, of whom Shankara, Lord Shiva, is predominant. He is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord in charge of the mode of ignorance in the universe. The leader of the Yakshas and Rakshasas is Kuvera, the master treasurer of the demigods, and he is a representation of the Supreme Lord. Meru is a mountain famed for its rich natural resources. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamanyang Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatang Sagana Raghunatang Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Rudranang Shankarascasmi, Videsho Yaksha Raksasam, Vasunang Pavakascasmi, Meru Shikarinam Aham. So, yeah, first thing I want to say is a little bit about the Sanskrit. So you should note, you probably know already, but it's always good to repeat, that there's two lines. It's not four. It's because this, if you look at the second line, it's printed a little bit to the front because it's actually one line. If you look at the Devanagari, it's called the Sanskrit, you know, the actual signs, you can see it's two lines, it's a deux lignes. So, for instance, in this word Meruhu, that is pronounced Meru, because that usually when there is a dot under the H, it's Meruhu, but because it's in the middle of the sentence, it's Meru. Like sometimes it's at the, let's say, the third sentence, at the end of the third sentence, then sometimes all these things that it's Meruhu, then it's also in the middle of the sentence. So it's only if it's on the end of the second line and the fourth line, and then it's Meruhu. So that is one thing. And then another thing is that, and there's many ways to chant this. Mother Jabhadra taught me, I always forget if it's up or down. I think it's up, right? The third line is going up. Isn't it like that? Rudranam Sankarascasmi Viteso Yaksha Rakshasham Vasunam Pavagascasmi Merushikarinam Aham. Now you can also, I guess you chant it down, or you can chant it like, you know, just line by line. Rudranam Sankarascasmi Viteso Yaksha Rakshasham Vasunam Pavagascasmi Merushikarinam Aham. But generally the traditional way is that you chant the first two lines like this, Rudranam Sankarascasmi Vitesho Yaksharakshasham. And then the third line, you go a little bit up. Vashunang Pavagaschasmi. And then down again. Meru Shikarinam Maham. Again, there's not really a hard and fast rules, but that is how Mother Jabhadra instructed me. So that is the general way. And then you can ask Kopi Panana Dana. What's his name? Gopinath Acharya. He's in that line. Gopinath Acharya, and he can teach you all other ways how to chant this. It's basically unlimited. Prabhupada used to say, I think it's also in the Shastra, I forgot the Sanskrit, where every step is a dance in the spiritual world, and every word is a song. You understand? In the spiritual world, dans le monde spirituel, what is it? A step? A pied? What is that? A step in French? What is it in Spanish? Taking a step. Huh? Paso? Oh, okay. Paso. When you understand? Un pas? Un pas? Un pas. Oui, un pas. So, il dit dans le monde spirituel, tous les pas sont comme une danse. Et tous les mots sont comme une chanson. So every step is a dance and every word is a song. So when Krishna is actually speaking this, if you have read the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, then Sanjaya, he's like the secretary, he's the disciple of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the writer of this book, and he's the disciple of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is the son of Brahma. We're talking also today about Lord Shiva. He's another son of Lord Brahma. So Vyasadeva is like the disciple of the son of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni. So, and he had another disciple called Sanjaya, right? Right? Sanjaya, yes. So Sanjaya, he was telling this discussion to Dhritarashtra. So it is basically verbatim. Sanjaya, c'est un disciple de Narada Muni, et il est le secrétaire de Dhritarashtra. Et il parle cette discussion de Krishna et Arjuna de Dhritarashtra avec une, how do you say, mystic power? What is power in French? Puissance? Oui. Avec mystic puissance, puissance mystique. And this song, because Gita means song, cette chanson, it is sung. Rudranam Sankarascasmi. This is how Krishna speaks. It's very nice. So, that is the beginning. And then another thing, because it's a very small purport, well, I'll get into it, but then another thing I wanted to share with you is the Mangala Charam. Right? What does it mean, Mangala Charam? Right. Mangala, like we have Mangalarti, means auspicious. What is that word in French? Auspicité? N'est-ce pas? Auspicious? Auspice. Where? So we have Mangalarti, means the arti that is very auspicious. And this also, this Acharam, is it from Uvacha or what is it? I don't know. But this is an auspicious invocation. So I'll just read the translation, because it's very important. It's on page number 1. It's called the introduction. So if you like, you can read with me. Just after Prabhupada's foreword, I think. Right? Preface. Just after the preface, page 1. So these prayers we say to invoke auspiciousness. So it goes like this. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So this is a very, very important verse. I will never forget, at least I hope I will never forget, that Yamuna Devi, unfortunately, she left our material vision, as they say. She left us, unfortunately for us. And she said this mantra, Om Agyanati Manandasya Gyananjana Salakya. Salakya is like a tool to cure the eyes from cataract. It's called the Salakya. So the spiritual master, he opened the eyes with the torch of knowledge. So Yamuna Devi, she used to say that this mantra, Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. It's a very important mantra. And in the beginning of ISKCON, she said that we used to say this mantra all the time. Because Prabhupada, he very much stressed this importance of Guru. So we start to speak Bhagavad Gita with offering obeisances to the Guru. We realize that without the Guru, without a teacher, we cannot do anything. Sometimes people say, like, I taught myself. Sometimes people say, Jimi Hendrix, he was self-taught guitarist. Still, he also had, you know, gurus, teachers. Even if you watch somebody and you learn, then that's still a teacher. So everybody needs teachers. So therefore, we begin offering obeisances to the teacher. And then, this is a very nice verse. I really like this verse. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Sva Padantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within his material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So this is a prayer to Rupa Goswami. Sometimes we are called Rupa Nugas, followers of Rupa Goswami, and we're praying for his mercy. And then this third verse is very important. Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha. Offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all the Vaishnavas. Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha. So you offer to the Guru, and also it also says Gurun. Gurun is plural. So you have Diksha Guru and you have Siksha Guru. So Prabhupada explains Diksha Guru is always one, initiating spiritual master, and Siksha Gurus can be many. So that is explained in this mantra, actually. Vandam Sri Guru, Sri Yuta Paragamalam, Sri Gurun, Vaisnavangscha. Then again, to Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sahagana Ragana Tang Vitang Tang Sajivam. So that is Sri Rupa Goswami. And then this Sagra Jatam, I forgot exactly what it means. I should have brought some word for it. But it means, it's here, the translation of my respectful obeisances and the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother Sanatan Goswami. Oh, I think that's what it means. Sagra Jatam means something like elder brother. And then Sahagana Raghunathang Vitang. Sahagana means both of the Raghunaths. That means you have two, Raghunath Das Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And then you have also Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So all the Raghunath, Sahaguna, Raghunatham Vitang. And then Tang Sajivam and Srila Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami, actually, he is considered the greatest scholar. He wrote so many books. He was the nephew of Sanatana Goswami, if I'm not mistaken. And then, this is very, now becomes more ecstatic, Sadvaitam Savadutang, so to Advaita, to the Avaduta, that is Nityananda, Parijana Saitang, let me see what Prabhupada says here, and I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Srivas, and other associates. Sadvaitam Savadutang, Parijana Saitang, Krishna Chaitanya Devang. Yeah, Parijana Saitam, I think it means all the other devotees, Gadadhar, Srivas, and everyone else. So specifically are mentioned Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Advaitam, and Avadutam, or Nityananda. And then, now it gets even more ecstatic, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, I offer my respectful obeisance to the lotus feet, the Pada of Radha and Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha Sahagana, together with Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangstya. So it's very nice, this mantra, because we also here we have Radha Krishna or Radha Gopinath and Lalita on the left and Vishakha on the right. So it's very nice to say this mantra, to ask for their blessings. And then, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosute. So this is a prayer to Radharani and also to Krishna. And to Dina Bandhu, this is a name of Krishna, means the friend of the fallen. Bandhu means friend and Dina means love. Oh my dear Krishna, hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, you are an ocean of mercy. Karuna Sindhu, Sindhu means ocean and Karuna means mercy. Dina Bandhu Jagatpate. Pate means father or lord, and Jagat means universe. Jagatpati. You are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. And then you are the master of the gopis, Gop Isha. Gopi and Isha. Isha, like sometimes they say that is Jesus. Jesus is like a title. It comes from this word Isha. Isha, Isis, Jesus, like that. So Gopa Isha, the Lord of the gopis. Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namosute. So he's the master and the lover of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. Namosute. Offer my respectful obeisances unto you, Krishna. And then actually this is a prayer to Radharani. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vrishabhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Hari Priye. So my pranams are to the one who is Priye, Hari Priye. We have one devotee here. She's also called Hari Priya. So that means one who is dear to Lord Hari. And Hari also means that one who takes away misery, everything bad, Hari takes away. Sometimes we feel that it's everything good, because he also takes away, like sometimes he takes away money and family. But these are all obstacles for us to go back to Godhead. So you have to be careful if you pray to Lord Hari. He's very, very powerful. So Hari Priye, who's dear to Lord Hari. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. So we know all about Gauranga. Anga means limbs, like hands, legs. And Gaura means gold. So one who has golden limbs. So because Radharani is a girl or female or Shakti, so then it's Gaurangi. So the Angi of Gaura, who has golden appearance. Because you should know that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in the mood of Radharani. So he has the same color. In the spiritual world, the mood and the person is the same. It's absolute. It's no difference. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna. Because he's in the mood of Radharani, he's also Radharani. So he's Krishna and Radharani. So Gaurangi, this means Radharani. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavanishwari. Again, this Ishwar. Isha, Ishwar. Isha means Lord, and Ishwari means the Lord who controls. So she is the Lord who controls Vrindavan. I don't know, have you ever been in Vrindavan? Have you been? So in Vrindavan, everybody knows that Radharani is in charge. This is very funny, actually, because, you know, everybody knows Krishna is God. Still, in Vrindavan, everybody says Radhe, Radhe, because Radharani is in charge. Like here, it's called Radhadesh. It's Radha Gopinath, and of course, everyone knows Gopinath is God. Still, it's called Radhadesh. So this is like Vrindavan. Radharani is in charge here in Radhadesh. So, Vrindavan Ishwari. She is the Ishwari of Vrindavan. Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari. Offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Sutadevi. The Sute. Sute means daughter of Vrishabhanu. And you are very dear to Lord Krishna. And then we all know this. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhyaivacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. Offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. So Vansha, sometimes married couples, they call each other Vansha. At least I know one couple. I won't mention any names. But they say, hey, Vansha, can you get this? Can you get that? Because Vansha means desire tree. So in the marriage, the husband is a desire tree for the wife, and the wife is a desire tree for the husband. So like that. Vansha kalpa trubhyascha. Yeah, so yeah, one thing also is that in we might not know what a desire tree is. In the spiritual world, you have desire trees, and we were talking about it in the class. So you have these trees, and they're conscious, and when you wish for a mango, it gives you a mango, and you can wish for a banana. And we had a whole discussion once. Some devotees say, you can wish for anything. I don't know if it's true. That's what it's called, at least. It's called a wish-fulfilling tree. I don't know. I thought it was only fruits, so who knows? Let's go to the spiritual world, we can find out. Of course, a devotee never wishes for anything but to serve Krishna. So, you know, if you go to the spiritual world to check out the desire tree, that might not be the best motivation, but you'll find it out anyway. Kripa Sindubya, again, this Kripa Sindhu, the ocean of mercy. The devotees are Kripa Sindhus. Kripa means mercy, Sindhu means ocean. Patitanang Pavanebhyo. Patita means fallen, Pavanebhyo. You are the savior of the most fallen. They are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. And then Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhara Saraswati Gaura Bhaktivrinda. So that is pretty straightforward. This is all the names of Pancha Tattva. Could of course give a whole lecture on what the Pancha Tattva is. Already explained a little bit. Have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Radharani. Nityananda, he is Balaram. Sri Advaita, he is Mahavishnu. Gadadhar is Radharani. Yes, very good. Sounds a little bit also the same. Hara, Radha, Hara, Gadadhar. Srivas is Narada Muni. And then Adi, Gaur Bhaktivrinda, and all the other Bhaktas of Gaur, of Gauranga. Vrinda means something like all of them. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada explains, all energy of the Lord, Radharani, all attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, source of all pleasure, Ram, please engage me in your devotional service. That's what this prayer means. So, that was the introduction. So now, let's see how much time we have left for the class. So the Rudras is explained in the beginning of the universe. Brahma, he... It's a little bit difficult to explain it. The idea is that this material world, it's a prison house. It's like an egg. There's actually many eggs called the universe. So Vishnu, he enters these eggs, and from his navel grows his lotus. And it's a little bit complicated. But the point is, on top of the lotus, Lord Brahma, manifests, and so he wants to populate the universe so the conditioned souls can, take birth and then try to come back to Krishna. That's actually the idea. So he created four sons called the four Kumaras, and they were very intelligent, actually. Didn't they talk to Narada Muni, or what was it? I forgot exactly. But whoever they talked to, they didn't want to make progeny. They wanted to stay brahmachari. So they told their father, no, we're not going to make progeny. We're not going to populate the universe. So Lord Brahma was very disturbed about that. So he became very, very angry. And it's described that from in between, is because when you get angry, and we had a friend, and he would make a face, like if he got disturbed, and we used to call it the croissant, because he made like a croissant here. So that's what happens when you're angry. You get like a croissant in between your eyebrows. So this is what happened with Lord Brahma, and from this croissant, Lord Rudra came. From his anger, from his between his eyebrows, this Rudra came. Rudra means anger. So, and or Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva Rudra is the same. So it's a little bit complicated. It's a little bit like ants trying to explain, Radha Desh. So it's not really possible for an ant to completely understand it or explain it. The understanding is that Lord Shiva, he expanded himself into 11 Rudras. And they populated the universe. And so this is it's one and different, kind of. So Rudra also means Lord Shiva, and at the same time, they're also different. Sometimes Lord Shiva is also called Rudra, so it's a little bit complicated. Anyway, and Lord Shiva, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, he's also in charge of the mode of ignorance. So Lord Shiva is almost like Krishna. He's compared like yogurt and milk. Krishna is like milk, and Shiva is like yogurt. So you cannot make you cannot make milk. Let me get this straight. From milk you can make yogurt, but from yogurt you cannot make milk. So it's like that. It's almost the same, but not completely. So, and it's... Actually, I've been meditating on this a little bit, and it's actually very interesting. Because Shiva, like I said, he's almost like Krishna. He's not like Lord Brahma. He's spiritual. He doesn't die. He has his own planet outside of the material universe. So it's like... almost like Krishna. And what does Shiva do? The whole time he's meditating on Lord Krishna. And he's totally austere. He doesn't have a house. He's just meditating. Usually meditates in the crematorium. And he's totally detached from everything. So this is a little bit like the mood of Krishna also. Like if you read this book, Krishna book, talks between Krishna and Rukmini. You know this story? Krishna talks between Krishna and Rukmini. You don't know? You never read it? No? It's a very nice story. I can recommend it. It's in the second part. And there Krishna says to Rukmini, why did you marry me? You know, I'm just a coward boy and I'm not qualified. And I'm actually not very much interested in marriage like my devotees. You know, they're very much, not so much into family life. And they're all ascetics and they're detached. I'm like them, you know, I'm also detached. And then and the end of the story is that Rukmini, she faints because she thinks Krishna wants to divorce her. Anyway, it's a whole story. It's very funny. So, but the point is that Krishna, he says there that he's very, very detached. So it's like Lord Shiva. He's also totally detached. And then you have the yakshas and rakshasas. So these are like, they're actually like demons. They're subtle entities. Like you have ghosts. You cannot see ghosts. But many people, they believe they exist, even people that don't believe in Bhagavad Gita. So ghosts exist, and yakshas and rakshasas are like demons, actually. They're a little bit worse than ghosts. And, of course, it's like a species, so you can have, you know, good rakshasas, like you had Prahlad Maharaj. He was also, you know, considered a demon, or he was born in a demonic family, but he became a pure devotee. So nothing is in stone, but generally rakshasas, it's not so good. So, and Kuvera, strangely enough, he's the treasurer of the demigods. So he's the leader of the yakshas and the rakshasas, but he's the treasurer of the demigods. So it's a little bit difficult for us to understand, because we are in Kali Yuga and everything is very, you know, mixed up, and we get a little bit, like, very easily angered. So, but in the culture, then people can cooperate with each other. Like, we had this big war, actually we're reading about it now, this Bhagavad Gita, between Dhritarashtra and Yudhisthira. But in fact, they were brothers. They were officially their nephews, but they were considered brothers. And they respected each other very much. And sometimes they were also fighting together. When there was a common enemy, they would fight together. But at some stage, there was this called fratricidal war, like a war between two families. But they respected each other actually very much. Like Balaram, he was the guru of Duryodhan. He trained Duryodhan in club fighting. So Balaram, when there was the fighting was going on, Balaram left. He couldn't watch it. And it was Krishna who started the fight. I mean, he said, no, we have to fight. I tried everything, we have to fight. But Balaram didn't like it because, you know, he liked Duryodhan. So it's very intricate, this whole culture. Prabhupada says, if an enemy comes to your house, then you should invite him in such a way that he doesn't even know that he's an enemy. This is the Vedic culture. Sometimes, especially Spanish people and Dutch people, they say, no, you have to tell everybody straight to the face. So this is not so much the Vedic culture. Vedic culture is sometimes you have to do it, especially when you give class, then you have to give the Shastric knowledge. But Prabhupada says you have to say it in a nice way. Try to say it in a nice way. So, but when you are dealing with personal relations, then other things are there. And I am also very bad at it, so I'm just preaching to myself. But we have to try to get the culture. Like, for instance, Duryodhan, he's considered a bad guy, to say it in an American way. Still, when Arjuna came, he promised Arjuna that, you know, you can come and you can ask anything. So when Arjuna came, he asked for the, 7 arrows? And these arrows could have killed the Pandavas. But still, Duryodhan gave it to him because he gave his word. So this is culture, you know. Even though he's considered a bad guy, still he kept his word. So we can learn from that. It's very important. As Americans saying, a man is as good as his word. So we should try and follow that. Of course, we ultimately follow Krishna. So we do whatever Krishna says or what Guru says. Still, it's also good, you know, when you are in doubt, to just follow normal dharmic, you know, moral principles. It's always good. Like Yudhisthira, he was very staunch at that. He followed all the moral principles. So it's very good. Everybody respected Yudhisthira Maharaj. He's the treasurer of the demigod. So he, like if people want to have money, they pray to Kuvera. If you want to get rich, then you have to pray to Kuvera. So he's in charge of all the money, of all the gold of the demigods. And that's actually the next point. Meru is a mountain famed for its rich natural resources. So it's described that you have the Bhumandal, and sometimes it's confused with the earth. Because Bhu also means earth, but Mandal means like a circle. Like you have these Buddhist mandalas, right? You know these drawings, Buddhist mandalas? Yeah, so they're always in a circle. So mandala means circle, so Bhu mandala means the circle. And this circle, like I described it in the beginning of the lecture, you have this egg, and in the bottom is Garbhadakasaya Vishnu. He's laying there on an ocean of transcendental sweat. And then from his navel grows his lotus. And so there's three planetary systems, bottom, middle, and top. So the bottom is where the Rakshasas and Yakshas live. And the middle is where we live, and it's a plane, but it's subtle. You cannot see it with your eyes, like ghosts, you cannot see it. And it's a circle. And on that plane, you also have Himalayas. And they're described, they're 80,000 miles high. At least that number is given. I don't know exactly, because this is all higher dimensional. So how the exact distance is, it's difficult to say, because, you know, Einstein, he said that time and space, they vary. You know, like it can bend, space can bend, and when space bends, then also time bends. So we know from Bhagavatam, the higher you go in the universe, the older people get. Like in the moon planet, 1 day there is 1 year here. Like if you go to the North Pole, you have 6 months light and 6 months darkness. So that is 1 day of the demigods. So, and if you go higher up to Brahmaloka, it's even slower, the time. So if you go up in a straight line, you can imagine that the space is not exactly like when you go on a road. It's a little bit different. So we don't know all these things actually, because Einstein is like a genius. He understood it a little bit. But we can't really go so far, so we can't really make experiments. So it's always a little bit of a speculation how it exactly is. So, you know, we have to be careful in understanding these numbers, because these books, especially Bhagavatam, it's for yogis. It's for yogis and demigods and devotees. Devotees are considered demigods. So they're for special kind of people that can see things that normal people cannot see. So this Mount Meru, it's on this Bhumandal in the middle. And it's shaped like this, like a cone. And on top of this mountain is Brahma Loka, is the city of Lord Brahma. Am I right? I'm not wrong, at least. He don't know. But that's what I remember. This mountain is like that. And again, it's like an ant trying to explain Radha. So how it is exactly, I don't know. But here it's explained. It's famed for its rich natural resources. So that was explained also this morning in the class, that all these mountains in the heavenly planets, because it goes actually up to the heavenly planets, they're all filled with all kinds of beautiful gardens and lakes and birds and flowers and, you know, trees that have all kinds of fruits. It's described that they have, like we just talked about, the wish-fulfilling tree. So that has all the perfect fruits, but in the heavenly planets, the fruits is described, they don't have a peel. Like the mangoes, they don't have a peel and they don't have a pit inside. Like, this is the last story I tell. Like, you have one tree, it's called the Parijata tree. Now, it's a story, also in Krishna book, that Krishna brought this tree from the heavenly planets. So there is one tree in India, and it's called the Parijata tree. And this tree is very, very old. It's thousands of years old. And the funny thing about this tree is the flowers that it gives, it cannot reproduce. All trees can reproduce, but this tree cannot. So it's kind of a mystery. How did this tree get there? So maybe it's the real Parijata tree that Lord Krishna brought. So I'm just telling you this. You can look it up on Wikipedia, Parijata tree. That I'm just telling you this. This is not just fairy tales. This is all real. It's just it's a little bit difficult for us to understand it. So, but just try to understand it, Prabhupada says. Okay, so I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.